Well, as always, I want to leave you with a little message today. Something important we can begin to apply and begin to work and work with God and begin to use that for our benefits. Because God has incredible benefits for us every day, but we have to understand, how do we use that? Now, the new year is coming up. Maybe you didn't know that. It's approaching really fast. And some of you have probably created some sort of New Year's resolution. Anybody create a New Year's resolution, or you're thinking about it? You're going to have some sort of new plan or new goal or new dream. It might be a big one. It might be a small one, right? And a lot of times, you know, we plan these New Year's resolutions, and then about week two of the new year, a lot of people give up on them. They just realize they're too hard. They're not going to do them. They get distracted. Something else is going on in their life. And they forget all about those New Year's resolutions. And that's what happens a lot of times when we're trying to do it of our own power. If we're trying to use our own will, our own physical strength to achieve a new goal, to begin a new habit, whatever it is, it's very difficult. And we'll find that by week two, for the majority of people, it's so difficult that we actually just give up and decide, I'll do it next year. Mm-hmm. Let's put it off till next time. And what I'm talking about today is converting the word to power. That's the message today, converting the word to power. Because a lot of times we're putting out the words out there that we want to achieve a goal. We want to have that New Year's resolution. We want to have that great dream in our life. And so we put the word out there, and then it falls flat because we haven't converted it to power. And this is happening in the Word of God as well. A lot of people understand that the Word of God is power. And if I read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Now, we hear a lot of people using words, though. You know, there's some people, they just love the sound of their own voice, and they're just going to talk nonstop so they can hear that they're talking. And a lot of times you don't even know what the heck they're talking about. As long as their mouth is moving, they're happy. But you don't really get that power. And so, and you'll hear people also quoting the scripture. When I'm talking about the word, I'm talking about the word of God, meaning the scripture. But you know, I'm sure you know a lot of people, or you've heard them before, that quote the scripture, and they'll quote the scripture endlessly. Quite often, it'll come out of nowhere, and they'll just start, it's almost like they're having a seizure. And they'll just start saying stuff from the scripture, and it'll be one after another. Quite often, it's out of context, or it has nothing to do with what you're talking about, and you kind of scratch your head and wonder, what's going on with this person? And that person, they do understand that the word has power. The problem is, they don't understand how to convert it to power. So they're just saying words. They're just saying verses. And they know the information, but they're not getting out of it everything that they can. Because unless we can convert the word to power, we're not going to receive the blessings that God talked about. We're not going to be able to do the things that God said that we can do. So we have to understand that the word is not, or the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. And we have to know how to take that word and transform it, harness it, so that we can use the power in it. A good example is, you know, if we think about, for a moment, something like the wind. The wind is power if we know how to harness it, right? Same with waves. The waves out in the ocean, that's very powerful, but we have to know how to harness it. The sun is very powerful, but again, we have to know how to harness it too, or we're not going to have the benefits. If we don't know how to harness the power of the wind, we just have air. The air might be moving my hair, but that's it. We haven't harnessed that power. Now, if you think about, for a moment, a sailing ship. Think about a beautiful ship with the sails up and the wind blowing into those sails. That ship is just moving and sailing very quickly forward. There's a lot of power in that wind when they have the sails up and they know how to use those sails. They really start to convert the wind, which is just air, they start to convert it into power. And now it propels them forward in life. And this is the same thing I'm talking about to you today. I'm talking about harnessing the power of the Word of God and knowing how to use that power so that it comes out of you like that wind and propels your life forward, so that you will obtain the goals that you have set, so that you'll overcome the obstacles that you're facing, so that you'll be able to transform your life in amazing ways. And that's what God wants. Yeah, say amen to this. Help me out here.
Amen. Praise God.
So that's what God wants for us, but a lot of times if we don't know about converting it, we just have words. And as you know, talk is cheap. You know, you can have a lot of words and say a lot of things and accomplish nothing. We can make those promises at the beginning of the year and tell everybody and or write it down and have the big list and say, I'm going to accomplish all this. But come the end of the year, maybe nothing has happened. And it's because we have not converted it into power. And that's what we really need to know how to do. And so today I'm talking about how we're going to convert the word into power. Now, what can we do when we convert the word into power? Let's take a look at Jesus. Jesus is an example. He converted the word into power. He knows the word of God. He knows the scripture. Now, let's talk a little bit about the word first. You know, it's meaning what God has told you that you can do, what you're capable of, what you can have for a life. He has said that you're blessed. He said that you can do great things, that you are to be healthy, that you are to be prosperous, meaning have financial abundance, not be struggling and trying to scrape by and wondering where, how I'm going to pay the rent next month. He said you should have prosperity. So health and prosperity and goodness, happiness, joy, these are the things that God talked about in his word. These were the promises that he made. And now, so the first thing you need to know is to know that word and know that this is what he said. That's number one. But just knowing that is not going to change anything. Because a lot of us have heard that before, right? A lot of people can quote the scripture and say what God said. But if you haven't converted to power, now you don't get the benefits out of it. You're not able to put that into action in your life to move your life forward. But if we take a look at Jesus, we get to see an example of how the word, when it's converted, becomes power. When Jesus talked, he wasn't just talking gibberish. There were times where he quoted the scripture, but not a lot if you look at it. You know, you don't really find him quoting it all the time and talking about it. But when he spoke, his words had power behind them. They went out like a great force and things happened. Remember, he said to somebody that was sick, be healed. Boom, power went out. He said, be healed. They weren't just words now. They were power coming out of him. It was a power that was being released from him. And when he said that over somebody who was sick, what happened to them? They were healed immediately. Amen. That power went out and healed them immediately. But we have to convert the words into the power so that we can release the power into our lives. Remember, he would say there was a storm this one time and the sea was all rough and the disciples were worried. What did he say when they woke him up? He came out and he said, storm, peace. Calm. And a power went out that actually changed the weather. A power went out from him that changed the weather. These are the things that you can do. Jesus said, the things that I do, you will do also and greater things than these. He's saying, you've got the same power. But we've got to convert that word into the power so that when we speak, it releases. If we just know the information, have it in our head, and we just speak it, we're just going to be talking a bunch of words, and nothing's going to happen, and people are going to think, what the heck is that guy talking about? But when Jesus said it, power was released, because he had converted the word into power, because that's what it is. But we've got to understand that. Remember, he cast out demons. He said, get out of here, and those demons fled. Why? Because he wasn't just speaking words. He wasn't just going through the motion of saying something. Power was released from him, and it went out. And it changed the situation. You can change any situation in your life. You can change any circumstance in your life. And you can change it immediately if you understand the releasing of the power the way Jesus did it. It doesn't matter what's standing before you in your life. Do you have a stack of bills? You can release this power over it, and prosperity will flow in and take care of that problem. Are you sick? Are you battling a flu or a cold or maybe something more severe? You can release the power into your life or someone else's life that's sick and have healing. These are the benefits of knowing how to convert the word to power. You can release it like that. And that's what Jesus was doing. And he was telling us we could do the same thing. Now, a lot of people, they know the word, but they haven't figured out, how do I take it from being in this book, in words? How do I take it from here and get it in here so that it's power being released? And when I say it, how do I get the power to release so that something happens? And that's what we need to learn. That's what we need to understand. And that's what we're talking about today. And so what was the main thing we need to know? The first thing we need to know, I should say, is we need to know what God said. So we got to get it clear in our mind. What were the promises of God? What did he tell us we could do? Because if we don't know what we're capable of, how are you going to do it? Did you know you could affect the weather? Did you know that? Do you believe that? Because if you just look outside and you just say, oh man, I was going to go out and have a great day and now it's just pouring rain and I'm stuck inside. But God is saying, you can do the same thing to change the weather. That means you've got that power, meaning you can release that. You can say, sunshine, come out. Boom. And let the power go. And now your day is beautiful and you can go out and do whatever it was you were planning to do. You've got the power to change the weather. But you've got to know that. You've got to know that, not just in your head, though, because knowing is just the first step. We've also got to know it in our heart. So first we want to know that. Next, we got to know what else we can do. What are we capable of doing besides changing the weather? We can heal the sick. We can proclaim prosperity over our life or somebody else's life. What does that mean? That means financial abundance can pour into a person's life. And you've got the power to do that for them. You've got the power to do that in your own life. You've got the power to do that in somebody else's life. But don't just speak words. You can quote and say, God said, I'm blessed. But if you're just saying, God said, I'm blessed, you're just speaking words. And as Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. We have to harness the word, though. Just like we harness the wind, we have to harness it so that we can have that power to create what it is we want. So the more we know about what we're capable of doing, then we can do it. The power is not physical. This is not a physical power I'm talking about. So you're not doing it of your own will or your own strength. This is not how much you know. This is a supernatural power. It is a power that is beyond the natural. As I was talking about wind and sun and waves, that's all natural powers. But I'm talking about something far greater than that. I'm talking about a supernatural power, a power directly from God out of heaven, which he is putting into your life so that you can have that to overcome natural forces. Supernatural forces are greater than natural forces. Meaning that when you have the power of the supernatural, there is nothing natural that can overcome you or block you or hurt you. You have greater power than anything in this physical world. That means you have power over all things in the physical world. Say amen to this.
Amen.
This is a good thing, and this is something God gave you and wants you to have. So the next step is being filled with his Spirit, the Spirit of God. And this happened. This happens when we receive a baptism, and when we are baptized, first that is just on a physical level. We have water, or sometimes they're immersed in water. Sometimes they sprinkle water on them, and they say you're baptized, meaning you're becoming a part of God's family. But that's a decision that you make. The minute you make that decision, though, and are baptized, now you can be baptized with the Holy Spirit, meaning the Spirit of God, God's Spirit, comes down now and comes within you, fills you up. So now you have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you. You have the power of God dwelling inside of you is another way to say that. This happened with Jesus. When he was baptized by John the Baptist, he came up out of the water, and what happened? They saw something like a dove coming down upon him. It was the Spirit of God came down and rested upon him and came into him. And John the Baptist had been told by God, you will recognize this guy that you're waiting for, because the Spirit will not only come down and rest upon him, it'll stay with him. Meaning the Spirit will not leave him. And this is what he saw with Jesus. The Spirit came down and stayed upon him and never left. The same thing happens with you. When you receive the Spirit of God, it doesn't leave. It never leaves. Now you have the Spirit of God within you. You have the power of God within you. Now you have this power to do great things. Got it? Does this make sense so far? So we need the Spirit of God to be dwelling inside of us, so we have that supernatural power, a power beyond the physical, a power beyond the natural. It's not just a regular power. It's not just physical power. It's not your own willpower or mind power. You know, some people try to do positive thinking. It's beyond that. It's a supernatural power, something right out of heaven that now dwells within you. You've got the power of God inside of you. Say amen.
Amen.
This is something incredible, that we've got the power of God within us when we receive this Spirit. But, you know, much like if we have that sailing ship, the sails are kind of the mechanism that captures the power, right, or moves us forward. But if we just have those sails folded up on the deck of the ship, you know, and we don't have them open, they don't do what we want them to do. The wind could be blowing, gale force winds could be blowing, and our ship could be standing completely still because we haven't put the sails in place. We haven't activated the sails, right? When we want to go forward, we need to raise the sails. You ever watch those sailing movies of captains out on the sea? Raise the sails! Right? And they have to raise the sails before the ship can move forward. It's the same thing. Some of us have the knowledge of the Word of God, meaning we know what God said we could do, but we're just speaking words. Some of us have received the Spirit of God, meaning we've already got God's Spirit within us. We got His power within us. And yet, our ship is sitting dead in the water, and we're wondering, wait a minute, what's going on here? I know what God said, I know what He promised me, I know who I'm supposed to be, and I know His Spirit is within me. Why is nothing happening in my life? Why am I not moving forward in this life yet? Why am I having all these obstacles that are holding me up? We need to raise the sails. How do we raise the sails? To raise that Spirit of God. How do we raise that up so that it can fire out? Because we know it's the power of God right there. We know if it's the Spirit of God, we know it's a supernatural, right? So we know that it's in there and it's dwelling within us. How do we get it to fire out? We got to believe. We got to believe. Here it says, this is an interesting thing. Let me read this. This is, Paul is speaking here, Paul the Apostle. And he's speaking about two groups of people. He's talking about him and the people that are with him, and he's then talking about them. Them is another group that are people that were with him. So let's just read this, and I'll explain it a little bit more. So Paul is saying, "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." So the them group heard the same promises that him and the people that were with him heard, but it did not profit them because they did not believe. They did not have faith in it. We have to believe it 100%, have no doubts in our mind, and have faith in what God said. If you heard things that God said and you kind of know it, but on the other hand, you're kind of saying, well, how would that work for me, God? Or, I don't really believe you meant that for me, God. You meant that for somebody. You wanted somebody else to be rich. You didn't want me to be rich. You wanted somebody else to be healthy. You didn't want me to be healthy. Little me? Healthy? Happy? No. No, that must have been for somebody else, right? So we got to have faith to fire up that sail. This is how Jesus was doing it. Jesus knew what God said. Right? He had the knowing of what he was capable of, right? He was filled with the Spirit. As I said, the Spirit came down and stayed upon him, so he had the Spirit. But now he's filled with faith, meaning he believes. He believes what God said. There is no doubt in his mind. He believes it 100%. So we got to take it from just being a knowingness of what God said to a believing. How do we get that to be a very strong faith? How do we do that? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You're receiving it right now. Right now you're hearing me speak about the things that God said. You're hearing them. As you hear them, they begin to go in. Hopefully they're going in. Nobody has earplugs, do they? It's going in, right? And it begins to percolate inside. Not just in a knowledge. Some of you may be trying to think and figure this out. But it's not that kind of power that's created. It has to go into the heart. That happens when we meditate on what's being said. Remember, you are filled with the Spirit of God also. And the Spirit of God is on the inside. And as I'm speaking the words to you, God is percolating. They're starting to kind of grow in there. They're starting to take hold as you meditate on them. This is the thing. You don't just want to go around babbling about the words of God or talking about it. You need to have that time where you sit and you meditate on it so that God can give you revelation, so that God can get it into the root of you. It can start to take really good hold. It starts to percolate and generate that power. And as that builds up inside of you, not just in your brain, but starts building up in your heart, that power begins to raise the sail. In other words, the Spirit of God begins to come out. Now there is a force that is being held there by faith. The sails are not raised unless we have the faith that we're going to raise the sails and the wind is going to be captured by those sails. We wouldn't bother to raise the sails, right, if we didn't believe that we could capture the wind in them. Because it would be pointless to us. So we first must have that faith that if I know these things in my heart, that Spirit of God will be raised up and I'll have that power to change things in my life. I will have converted the Word into the power. This is what Jesus was doing automatically. As he spoke the words, the power would shoot out of him. We need to build that faith up by meditating on the Word. Not just babbling about it, meditating on it, letting it get inside there and percolate. We've been doing some faith-building campaigns, right, where we have verses. And I'm not telling you, hey, go tell these verses to everybody you know. I'm telling you to meditate on those verses, right, and let God come and begin to speak to you. Because you're going to hear, you're going to receive faith and by hearing either from me speaking or somebody else speaking and teaching something that was revealed to them. Or you're going to hear the Spirit of God speaking directly to you in your personal relationship with God. His Spirit inside of you begins to speak to you and tell you things about yourself and what you can do as you meditate on His Word. He begins to tell you things, and that power begins to grow. That belief begins to grow in yourself. It's God's belief that's growing in there and percolating. And that's the power that we now have, so that when we speak, raise the sails, we know that the wind is going to be caught in those sails. When we say, be healed, we know the person is going to be healed. We know it. Amen. Let's take a look at something. See, with Jesus, this was kind of interesting. When he was saying this, let me talk a little bit about, let me read this verse about faith as well so that we understand a little bit better. Paul described this, what faith is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are invisible. The things that we now see were not made of things that are visible. So look around you. You see the things in your life? Think about your relationship. Think about your job. Think about your body. Think about your health. None of that was made with the things that are visible. It was made by the supernatural. It was made by the things that are not seen. That's the same way that God created the world. Did God see light before he said, let there be light in the book of Genesis? No. It said there was a void. There was nothing. But God had an intention. I'm going to create light. And then he said, let there be light. And power went out from him. They weren't just words. They were power. The power to create light went out. He wouldn't have needed to say, let there be light, if he already saw it. That's why the things you don't have in your life, you don't see. But if you did see them, you wouldn't need faith. Because you wouldn't need to say, I need to be healed if you're already healthy. We need the faith when we don't see it. That's how God works. He didn't see light, but he said, let there be light, because that's how he was creating it. It wasn't visible yet. If we already see somebody being healthy, we wouldn't say, be healed. Why would we do that? And that's the same way Jesus worked. Jesus went up to a sick person. He didn't say to a healthy person, be healed. There was no need for that. He already saw the health in the person. He went up to somebody sick. In other words, he's not seeing health in this person. He's seeing sickness in this person. But what is he speaking over them? He's speaking a word of power and saying, be healed. See, so let me go back and read that again now. Listen carefully. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. We're hoping for healing. We don't see healing yet. If we saw healing, we wouldn't need to speak, be healed, right? So we're hoping for healing. The evidence of things not seen, so we're not seeing it. Now, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. As I said, he said what he wanted there to be. There was nothing in the beginning, but he said, let there be light. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Okay? We're not going to make the things in our life out of something that we already see or that's visible in our life. We're not going to see it yet. You have a dream of a great relationship and you don't have a great relationship, you're not going to see a great relationship yet. That means you've got to hope for a great relationship. That means you've got to have the belief and the faith that God is going to bring me a great partner. Right? You're not seeing it yet. You wouldn't say, by words of faith, I want a great relationship, if you already have a great relationship. But you don't see it. But you believe for it, you hope for it, and now you speak, when not seeing it, in the supernatural power, great relationship be. And that power releases, and then you meet that Prince Charming. Right? That's how it happens. We're not speaking the things that we see, because why would we need to? If you already see a lot of money in your bank account, you don't need to say, be blessed, be fruitful, or prosperous, you know, have finances. You've already got finances in the bank. You would say it, though, if you got a couple of cents in the bank and the bills need to be paid. Now you are proclaiming, because it's what's hoped for. And that's what we got to build our faith by meditating on it. Now, when Jesus said it, think about this for a moment. Remember this story? Jesus went to where Lazarus had died. He was raising even the dead by the words of faith that he was speaking. That's what kind of power Jesus had. Jesus said you could do the same thing. He also said you could do greater things. Try to wrap your mind around first that you can do the same thing. Greater things might even be beyond what you can comprehend right now. But just think, whatever Jesus did, I can do. Just say that to yourself in your heart. I can do whatever Jesus did. You believe that yet? Or maybe you're going, I don't know, Ted. But remember the story where Lazarus had been dead 3 days. He was already wrapped in a tomb. Jesus came and Jesus said, Lazarus, come out of the tomb. All these people are gathered around. Now, do you think Lazarus got out of there right away? I see Lazarus inside. He's wrapped like a mummy. He's in all this stuff. He's been dead for 3 days. Slowly, he kind of wakes up. He's got to fight his way out of this mummy outfit to get up, to walk out of the thing, right? See him fighting his way through this? Suddenly, what? Oh, my goodness, what is that? He's been rotting in there for 3 days. I need a shower. So it doesn't happen right away. Outside, Jesus has already said, Lazarus, come out. He has released the power that Lazarus is going to rise up from the dead and come out of the tomb. Lazarus hasn't come out yet. Maybe 5 minutes has gone by because Lazarus is fighting with all these bandages and trying to stand up, orient himself about where he is, where the heck's the door. And time has gone by. What's Jesus doing? 5 minutes has gone by, maybe. The crowd is starting to get restless. This guy claiming that some guy's going to come out of the tomb. You can hear them whispering. They're already starting to talk about it. This guy's nuts. Is Jesus worried? Oh my God, Lazarus hasn't come out. It's been 5 minutes. Does he start to get on Facebook and go, oh, friends, I think I'm in big trouble here. The crowd is getting restless. Is he texting everybody? I'm at Lazarus' tomb and Lazarus is not coming out. Jesus doesn't do that. Why? Because Jesus has complete confidence in the power that he has just released. He may not see anything happening yet. Nobody has seen any, heard any signs of Lazarus moving in there yet. He's waiting. And he's waiting in confidence. People might be whispering around going, nothing's happening. Man, a lot of time has gone by. This guy's saying that somebody's going to come out of a tomb when they've been dead for 3 days. What kind of nut is this guy? We got to put him in an institution. But Jesus is just, he is totally confident because that's faith. He has released the power now, and now he's waiting. He's not going to sabotage it by being afraid. He's not going to, oh my God, is this going to work, God? I know you told me to tell him to come out. It's not happening. No. He is confident in it. And he is calm in it. There is a peacefulness in his spirit as he waits. See? You set a New Year's resolution. And you said, I'm going to accomplish this. And then you don't see it right away. And you start going, oh my goodness. I don't think this is going to happen. Oh my goodness, I think I failed. Oh no, what am I going to do? Start texting all your friends. I'm not getting my resolution. I think I'll just give up. See, you got to have that complete confidence that once you've released that power, now you wait on it, because it will happen. If God said it'll happen, you've let that faith build up in your heart, right? You meditated on it. You felt the power. You got the Spirit of God inside of you, and now you've spoken words of faith. Lazarus, come out. Now you wait on it. And you know, without doubt, you know, it's going to happen.
Amen.
I'm going to reach that goal. I'm going to achieve that business. I'm going to have that relationship. My body is healed.
Amen.
No doubt. If we take a look here, listen to what Jesus was saying. Now this goes back to the story. Remember I was talking a little bit, I mentioned about the disciples that were out on the boat and there was a storm and the storm was blowing and the wind and waves and it was crazy out there. Jesus was sleeping in the back. And the disciples got worried and they came and said, oh, Jesus, we're going to die. We're all going to die. And Jesus got up and he walked out and he said, storm, psst, peace. And then it was calm. Here's what he said to the disciples after that. He says, why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? See, he mentions this fearfulness because fear is what erodes faith. Fear is what steals our confidence. Fear is what prevents us from having that kind of strength to just stand and wait for Lazarus to come out of the tomb. The fear begins to erode our belief. Pretty soon we don't believe what we know God said we could do. We start to doubt it. That's when doubt comes in, when fear is at work. That's the cancer of our faith. That is the cancer of our power. You want to erode your power? Let the fear get in. Let the fear get in and start to talk to you. Jesus never let the fear get in. He was totally confident and powerful. The disciples, though, here he says, if I read the next verse, in verse 41 of Mark 4, it says, and they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? They were fearing exceedingly, meaning their fear was so great. They had so much fear. How could they have any faith? We can't let fear get in. We got to cast fear out. As the faith builds inside of us, as we meditate on the Word of God and the faith gets stronger, we got to identify the fear and kick it to the curb. We can't let the fear be in there because the fear will erode our confidence. It'll erode our belief and it'll steal our power. And now when we have released that power, if we let the fear begin to come up inside of us, it won't happen. If Jesus would have been standing outside of Lazarus' tomb and started getting worried, biting on his nails, you know, texting all of his friends, saying it's not going to happen, the power would have stopped working. Lazarus never would have come out of the tomb. You never get that healing you're expecting. You never receive that abundance you're expecting. If you let the fear start to erode the power you've released. When you release the power of faith in those words, now you wait in confidence. Any fear that tries to get in there, little voices going, it's not going to happen. They might start off very quiet at first. You get them out. Kick them out. Jesus said you can cast it out. Cast out that fear. Rebuke it.
Amen.
I'm not listening to you voices.
Amen.
Because I know that I have the power of the living God dwelling inside of me. His spirit is here.
Amen.
And I believe him.
Yes.
And I have released this power. And it will go and do what I said it will do.
Amen.
Let me read this verse. I have this. I didn't even put this one down. But for some reason, God has told me to read this one. This is God speaking. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it.
Amen.
Now, God's word can do that. That means you speaking God's word with faith and power will do that too. It will not come back to me void, meaning the things that I proclaim in faith will be fulfilled.
Amen.
It will be done. Lazarus will come out of the tomb. My bills will be paid. My relationship will happen.
Amen.
I will be healed.
Amen.
We need that kind of confidence and power. But we got to convert the word to power by letting it percolate inside of our hearts, meditating on it, letting it grow. Say amen to this.
Amen.
Amen.
This is a good thing.
Praise God.
No fear. Get rid of the fear.
Right.
It doesn't have power over you. Listen to this. Check this out. You want to know something about yourself? Here's what God says. For God has not given you a spirit of fear. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind.
Yes. Amen.
Who are you? You are not fear. You don't have a spirit of fear. God did not create you to have fear. God created you to have power, love, and a sound mind.
Amen.
That's who you are. That's why I said one of the important things is knowing who you are. God did not give you a spirit of fear. God does not want you to have fear in your life. Why? Because fear erodes the faith. Erodes the power that God gave you. Remember, God came and walked on the earth as Jesus to take the power, to show us how to use the power so that we could then do the same thing. That's why he came here and walked. So that we could have that power and do the same thing that he did. But we got to know, fear is not part of us. That's not something God created in us. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to you. Get rid of it. The minute you start releasing fear that tries to get in and sabotage your power and sabotage your belief, now the belief grows stronger, the power grows stronger, and when you release it, it happens immediately like Jesus. It starts to happen faster because there's nothing to slow it down. There's nothing to weaken it. Fear is on one side, faith is on the other. We can either stand in faith, meaning in power, blessing, prosperity, being gifted in all ways, or we can stand in fear, meaning we'll be broke, sad, nervous, have no fingernails, because we've chewed them off. That's our choice. So we want to get into using the word in a powerful way.
Amen.
Go forth into the world and do it. You have New Year's resolutions, you have dreams, and God has even greater dreams for you that you haven't even seen yet. But as you meditate on his word, he will show you what you're capable of. He will show you what potential you have and who you can be. And then that word will begin to come forth as power and change your life. It will change you physically. It will change you mentally. It will change your house. It will change your bank account. It will change your relationship in an amazing way. It will change everything about you as that power is released because it is the power of love.
Amen. Amen.